Blog Talk Radio.
I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine. This class is all mine, gonna open up their minds. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. Yeah, I'm feeling good today, sporting backpacks and they're on their way, yo. Kinda love the things we like, going to my class, everything's alright, oh. No one as smart as you, no one as cool as you. No, whatever grade level or type of school, my class is gonna rule, yeah. Now I got my class together, I got my lesson plans together, yeah. You know I got my act together, I'm shaping students that'll shape forever. The greatest changes in the world will almost always start at schools. And you know my mom and daddy didn't raise no fool. I can change the world for better, I can change the world for worse. So I choose to be a teacher and a blessing, not a curse. Singing this song to open up their eyes, jumping in my ride, gotta get there on time. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine. This class is all mine, gonna open up their minds. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. I run my class like I know I should, I'm making young stars like I'm Hollywood. I thought you understood, I'm the difference in my class for the greater good, yeah. Getting my class to spread the wind, being at school makes me wanna sing, oh. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. We can change the world together, teachers, we can make it better.
Change the world.
It feels like it's been cold forever. I think it's time we change the weather. We can, we will, we must succeed. Children are the future and the future's gaining speed. If you're gonna grow the plant, then you gotta plant the seed. And if you're gonna reach a child, it starts by giving them what they need.
I'm singing this song to open up their eyes, I'm jumping in my ride, gotta get there on time. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine. This class is all mine, gotta open up their eyes. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher. Teacher, I'm a teacher, yeah,
yeah. You know, I think I'll start tomorrow.
I don't have that kind of space.
We got all of these excuses.
And we're not doing what it takes.
You're thinking you don't have the power.
Look me in the face.
You have the kind of power
that could change the human race.
I'm singing this song to open up the eyes, jumping in my ride, gotta get there on time. I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I'm feeling like a star, you can't stop my shine.
Oh,
class is online, gonna open up the minds.
I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a teacher, I'm a real good teacher.
I'm a teacher, let me see the way you shine.
Hey, hey, that is my theme song. Welcome live on Tribe Family Channel, the recipe for literacy in the Black community. And it is an honor, privilege, and a pleasure to host this roundtable discussion, season 2, episode 9. We are calling all parents, educators, and homeschoolers to the roundtable discussion. Tune in tonight, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 Eastern. You can call 515-605-9351, or you can visit tribefamilychannel.com, and that's going to take you right to my social media page. Click that link and join the show. Follow our studio at www.blogtalkradio.com/gumbo for the soul. Live on Tribe Family Channel, the recipe for literacy in the Black community is a Gumbo for the Soul International family brand. We are so honored to be sponsored this season by Danny Smith Mathis. She is an educator, MPW, CF, AP, MP, and she can tell you what those acronyms mean, but I will tell you this. After graduation from the University of Southern California's Master's in Professional Writing, MPW program, Danny served as an adjunct faculty instructor of English at Essex County College, Newark, New Jersey, and Clayton State University, Morrow, Georgia, where her unique method of instructional delivery grabbed the undivided attention of traditional and non-traditional students in the areas of remedial writing, composition, research writing, technical and speech writing, and business communications. Our next panelist, Olivia Harris, currently teaches 11th grade reading. She's in her 20th year as a teacher. She has a bachelor's degree in English and a master's degree in educational leadership. She is certified to teach elementary education, reading, educational leadership, and ELL, English language learners. Olivia has taught at neighborhood schools, magnet school, private school, and the charter school. She has taught language arts, reading, world geography, life science, physical science, math, and writing. She has held many leadership positions over the years, but her greatest success was when she was teaching coordinator, lead teacher, and professional development chairperson all in the same year, and her school's grade went from a D to a B. Live on Tribe Family Channel, ladies and gentlemen, please help me welcome Ms. Danny Smith Mathis, Ms. Olivia Harris. Hi, ladies. How are you today?
Good evening. Thank you. How are you?
I am so blessed. To my sponsor, Danny, please say hello to our guest panelist, Olivia.
Hi, Olivia. Great to have you here.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Absolutely.
Now, I am so intrigued by both of your backgrounds, and I want to bring you two together to have a conversation about gun violence. I know that educators have their share of scare. It's not only parents, it is students and educators. And it has to be very trying to the nerves to want to provide such an enriching environment, whether you're a parent, educator, homeschooler, superintendent, anyone involved in our educational system, principals, it has to be very trying to the nerves in this particular climate as we see gun violence continue to rise. Even with the last mass shootings, the warning signs were all there. For instance, from this article by James Densley and Julian Peterson, whenever a school shooting takes place like the one at Oxford High School in suburban Detroit on November 30th, 2021, it is typically followed by a familiar chorus of questions. How could such a thing happen? Why doesn't the government do more to stop these shootings from occurring? Those questions are even more urgent in light of the fact that the shooting at Oxford High School was one of 222 school shootings in 2021, an all-time high, according to the Center for Homeland Defense and Security's K-12 school school shooting database. That's over 100 more school shootings in 2021 than in 2019 or 2018, respectively, the second and third worst years on record. This article for continued reading is posted on our Facebook page, The Recipe for Literacy in the Black Community, as well as on tribefamilychannel.com. If you go down a couple of postings to today's show's posting, you will see that article posted there as well for your continued reading. Now, I want to ask our panelists to dialogue about the aforementioned and how you were impacted or what in particular stands out for you when it comes to the continued rise of gun violence, the ignored warning signs, especially. It could not have been any clearer than this last perpetrator's transparent issues, his parents, and their lack of responsibility in proper supervision and being mature enough to not be their child's friend. We learned that by text messaging from the mother to the son. I'm not mad at you. That's abhorrent that you would allow your son to search for ammunition on his phone at school when he's in a place of, one, education, two, why on earth did he receive a gift of that magnitude? So let's start with our guest panelist, Olivia Harris. Please offer any other details about yourself that I did not read from the space and time that we had for your bio, if you'd like to at this time, and then let us know how you're impacted by gun violence as an educator.
Thank you so much. I'm also an author of two women devotional books. I am a Christ chick and a Christ chick and her king. And I also have a novel, my first novel in a young adult series that's called Chronicles of a Christ Chick, book number one, Prince Charming. Also, I can be reached on social media, on Instagram, TikTok, and on Facebook as Christ Chicks, and Chicks is spelled C-H-I-X. And gun violence has impacted my ability to keep my students safe the way they're supposed to be. And I say this because a lot of our students see the gun violence as going on, but they don't necessarily take it seriously. And it's kind of hard for children to take something serious that they've never experienced before. Me personally, I've been in a situation where there was someone on campus who had a gun and was looking for a particular student, and we were all on lockdown for hours. So I personally share my story of what I went through with my students so that they understand that when it comes to safety, I don't play. I take that very seriously because I've been in the situation. So I make it clear to them that when they go to the door, because school doors have to be locked and kept closed during class periods. So when they go to the door, they have to look to see through the window to see who's at the door before they open the door, because there's a covering over every teacher's door. And then, of course, we all have safety zones in the classroom where students have to go. And at one time, I know they were talking about allowing teachers to be able to carry guns, but of course nobody wanted to pass that. I was for it. I was for teachers being able to carry guns because I feel like if we were able to carry guns, that would probably decrease some of the school shootings that we are having. And also, a lot of teachers are not looking at the signs of students who have mental issues. And it's very easy to document that stuff without even telling the students. There is a system in the computer for the school district where you can go on there and quickly check psychologists and put the student's name, and immediately the psychologist will go and get that child and assess them. And if the social worker need to get involved or the child needs to be Baker acted, whatever, that stuff can happen immediately. But this day and age, teachers are so stressed and bogged down with having to teach a test so that kids can pass a standardized test that we kind of overlook some of the more important issues like gun violence.
Cool. Thank you for coming to Tribe Family Channel, the Recipe for Literacy in the Black Community Roundtable Discussion. And Danny, our sponsor guest, would you please give us words?
Yeah, so Olivia, thanks for that. And I am certainly no expert on gun violence, but what I will tell you is as a mother of two now adult sons, black sons, and a grandmother of a black male grandson, I'm just like, I'm enamored with the fact that you have what you would consider a solution in terms of teachers being able to carry. And I would like to delve into that more and see what you feel is the real answer to effecting that kind of change. Like, how do you get that done? Besides passing laws, of course, but how can the National Federation of Teachers get involved, the teachers union get involved in making this a priority and an agenda for their organization?
Well, they can get involved by first going to their school board and having the school board to vote on whether or not this is something that we can mandate. And then once it's mandated, then there's the whole training that teachers would have to go through as far as, you know, carrying an armed weapon. And the thing is there's so many teachers that do not feel comfortable with carrying guns, which is, to me, part of the problem, because when students are in a teacher's class, by law, you are considered their legal guardian. So that means that when they're in your class, you're their parent. And if you're someone's parent, your job is to protect them. So I don't understand why teachers do not want to carry guns to protect children, because we all have children. I want somebody to protect my children. I am for my children's teachers having guns to protect the kids, because I have kids also, but so many teachers are completely against it, and I cannot understand why.
Well, let me jump in here, ladies, because I usually give my input from a parental standpoint. I started Gumbo for the Soul Literacy Program as an at-home mom when I still had young children in elementary school and a stepson that was in middle school heading for high school. The children that were coming home and befriending my kids had learning problems. The children standing in front of the church reading at the podium had learning problems, reading problems. And I started the literacy program at my kitchen table really just to be of service to the children that were friends of my children. This was in conjunction with starting Gumbel for the Soul Publications. And this show is named after my first anthology, which hundreds of people contributed to, The Recipe for Literacy in the Black Community, under Gumbel for the Soul Publications. So with that being said, my concern as a mother is that I would never want to see the day when a teacher is walking around the classroom with a weapon affixed to their hip. Teachers come in all types of sizes, demographics, and so do students. And there is absolutely no guarantee that that weapon will not be taken from that teacher. That teacher is there to be in teaching mode, and these students are there to be in learning mode. And I feel that there is a great deal of responsibility, 99% of the responsibility lies upon the parents. Let me say that for the back row that may have just showed up. I know you think it's the school's responsibility and the educators that are on the phone and all that, blah, blah, blah. No. Your child should leave your home prepared to sit down in that class and learn. And you, parent, have the responsibility to hold both sides accountable to their day of education and learning. And that was my position in terms of my children going to school. And I'm telling you, I'm so glad they're all grown and out of school. And there was not one incident that I can remember that a gun was taken to any campus, much less. Now, there were police on different campuses. They called them, or I forget what they called them, but they are armed professionals. And my thing right now is that that turns that teacher into an armed guard. The teacher, I feel, is, there's a big difference and a huge distance between those dynamics, and I just wouldn't be for it. But anybody can jump in and oppose my thinking and change my mind. I have grandchildren now, and I'm still not for guns in school from anybody, but someone can jump in before we go to a quick commercial break.
So what would you consider to be the alternative for teachers and administrators, faculty as a whole, being able to protect students? Do you think maybe tasers?
Well, I would have to be more thorough in what you're faced with as a teacher, because I'm not in your shoes. So I really can't say how you can best feel safe in a class which is already outnumbered in ratio. Sometimes these classes are 23 and 24, and they should be no more than a 20 to one ratio when it comes to students and teachers. So I really cannot offer an answer from the disposition of a teacher, but from the disposition of a parent, I feel that parents aren't towing the line enough, because yes, you have your Second Amendment rights okay, to bear arms. However, it's taken so far out of context. You have people walking around with AR-15 slung across their bellies just because. So the solution really is to keep everything in its proper context. But we're so far from that as parents and gun owners, and that we really aren't serving the educators the way we should. Let's be clear that the problems that enter that classroom are brought there by the students that enter that classroom, which leave the homes that the children cannot check a problem at the door. So the parents are responsible to create solutions, because it is the children that are bringing the guns to the schools, and the responsibility is shifted onto the educators. The educators are there to educate. And now we're going to turn them into security officers with a flash course at that. You know, the course may start at, I don't know, let me pose a question to you. And maybe you can answer the question you asked me. But let me ask you, what is, if you have a knowledge of the turnaround time on the training that is available and offered to the teachers at the time of the proposed gun carry?
Well, most likely the training would be something that would be held probably on Saturdays, like all day, 8 hours. So many Saturdays teachers have to come and get trained at, there'll be different schools that consider the designated training site throughout the district. And some of the teachers will go to each training site to get the information they need and the knowledge. But then after that, then they would still have to actually go somewhere where they can actually practice using the gun and the firearm correctly. But there could be some place in a teacher's classroom where it's a locked, secure safe where the gun can be placed. And it could be something where only the teacher knows the PIN code to be able to unlock it. But I also feel like in the main office of the school, there should be some type of weapons there to protect students. The reason why I say this is because everything that the United States have tried to do so far to decrease the amount of gun shootings is not working. And when something is not working, then we need to reinvent the wheel. And we need to go back to the drawing board. Even if it's not carrying guns, even if it's using tasers or using bows and arrows, just something, even if it's just using BB guns. It doesn't have to be, you know, actual bullish, but just something to be able to take down that person or persons who are on the campus so that everybody can be still safe.
Well, I will tell you one of the
coming in here, Beverly. Where I'm getting stuck, and I definitely am of the opinion that I just don't like the idea, right, of guns being in schools. And I think what I don't like the idea of more of is the need for guns in schools to protect. I guess my question is, how are guns getting into schools in the first place? What is causing that?
They just put them in their backpacks. There aren't metal detectors in the school.
So that's really the problem. is that the guns are being allowed in the schools because there is no gatekeeper to make sure that they don't get in.
That
so
is
see,
true.
Now, you know, let me jump in right quick because, Danny, you are right down my row. If I could hold it, I wouldn't jump in. But the answer came on like a light bulb for me, and then Danny just steered right into it, and Sister Olivia is answering right on point. And I had this idea years ago, but I tossed it because I knew it was too costly, and that was to mimic the same security that you would at an airport to prevent a gun getting on a plane. But Danny here brings it to a more simpler solution with a threshold metal detector, just like if you were going into a courtroom. If you're going into a courthouse, you're going to walk through that threshold that detects metal, and you're going to set your backpack and everything else right there. So with everything else that is spent to protect America that is shipped offshore, America needs to take care of America and secure its schools. That should be its children. And it's educators, and that should be fundamental. You know, and then I'll turn it back over to you ladies, and then we'll go to a commercial. But I remember when my children were in school, and I didn't even let them ride the school bus. Y'all don't have any seatbelts on the school bus? You know, it's just abhorrent. I'm serious. Ask my children if they rode school buses. And I was shocked. I was, like, paranoid to allow them to go on distant school trips, field trips. Oh, child, be the most paranoid parent, you know, casing the bus driver, are you drunk? But let me turn it back over to the educators here on Tribe Family Channel, the recipe for literacy in the Black community. Danny had the microphone, and I was just bursting into the conversation. But, Danny, you're right on point. Go ahead, Queen.
No, see, this is not about allowing teachers to have guns, because now I'm concerned not only about something going wrong and something happening, almost like when you're at war, you know, there could be friendly fire, right? And so that's like crazy to me. What I really think the issue, I mean, this is simple. Guns should not be in the schools. And so therefore, you have to start, somebody's got to figure out lobbying for legislation where there has to be metal detectors in every school. There has to be. And that someone is going to be responsible to be the gatekeeper to ensure the safety of that school by, number one, not ever allowing a student. So every student's just going to have to go through security. Just like
I don't see why not.
And
yeah, I don't see why not.
It's not just about going through security. It's about if, in fact, you are caught with something, which to me is a deterrent now if you know there's a possibility of something being detected, because right now there's no deterrent. And so if you know there is a deterrent, clearly someone is going to try to do – I don't know how you get past that. I don't know how you get past a metal detector when you actually have a gun in your backpack and you think you're going to get past it. I don't know how you smuggle in stuff like that. But let's say – you are detected, and if you're detected, that has to go back to parents. It has to be an automatic.
It's the parents,
not even suspension. You get kicked out of school automatically. You don't get you don't get to just, you know, get your $200 and pass go. You don't. You just don't. You automatically go to jail. You go to jail.
Let me ask.
It should be like I'm in the Monopoly game. You go to jail and you don't get out free. There should be consequences for you, how long you stay in there, because you have intentionally brought a gun into the school for what purpose?
Right,
like, is this
right.
now premeditated murder? Like, what are we talking about here?
Well, now, I think
the answer has to be metal detectors in school, because now we're at a point where there's not going to be any other way to control it other than to make sure that it doesn't get in. And the only way to do that is to have kids go to security every single day. You have to have checkpoints. You have to have checkpoints. And you have to make sure the kids aren't coming in the school without going through a certain entrance, right? So you can't slip in the back door or the side door with somebody. Because now you're going to have situations where you're going to be able to cut to the chase about who was in on stuff if this stuff goes awry. And that's the way I feel.
Yeah,
we're
I'm glad
let
you
our guest respond. Go ahead, Olivia.
Okay. Danny, I'm glad you mentioned about the back doors and the side doors, because that was the first thing I thought about when you mentioned metal detectors, because I agree with you, metal detectors is an excellent idea, but I am concerned about all the other entrances that are on school buildings, like, How do we keep those entrances secured and keep students from going through those entrances?
You do it the same way.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you cut them off. In other words, there are no other – there is no – there's one way in and there's one way out. And the only time that changes is when there's a fire drill or some kind of threat where you have to evacuate.
And then we cannot negate that children will throw a backpack over a fence, and so it's going to be problems upon problems anytime there is a step towards prevention. Anything that we're trying to ward off, there's going to be ways around created. Now, we're going to come back to our guest panelists after this brief commercial break from one of our previous hosts on Tribe Family Channel.
Hi, my name is Stacey Matt-Clam. I am the author of School Dismissed, Walking Away from Teaching. I wrote this book last summer after I resigned from the teaching profession. Writing the book was therapeutic for me. In the book, I discuss why I left the teaching profession. I also discuss trauma and mental health concerns that many students, especially very young students, endure. Finally, I discuss teacher trauma, also known as secondary traumatic stress. This book is not just for educators. It's for anyone who has walked away from something that was not serving them. I am realizing now that my path in education is outside of the classroom. Check out my book, School Dismissed, Walking Away from Teaching, on Amazon in digital and paperback format, or go to my website at www.stacymatclam.com. Again, that's www.stacymcclam.com. You can find me on all social media platforms at Stacy Matclam. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and welcome right back on Tribe Family Channel's The Recipe for Literacy in the Black Community, where we are discussing gun violence. You can visit us on social media at tribefamilychannel.com. We have listed some of the links that we are reviewing, or that I am reviewing here. And I'm going to go to the Gun Violence Archive, which is on gunviolencearchive.org. And it's by year. There's a 7-year review about gun violence. It's listed by deaths under willful, malicious, accidental, suicides by gun, injuries, willful, malicious, accidental, children killed or injured, 0 through 11, teens 12 through 17, mass shooting, murder, suicide, defensive use, and unintentional shootings. And again, this is gunviolencearchive.com, and there is a plethora of information, databases, There's maps where you can track the number of deaths in 2021 on through, like I said, this is a 7-year review right here. I'm hoping that there's some additional information for past years because there are several links and tabs available to click on. But the demographics are alarming when you look at it. Even today in Michigan, Battle Creek, one person was killed. Again, today in Georgia, another person injured. Today in again in Georgia. So gun violence is every day, and it's up to the last 72 hours on this database. So, again, that's going to be gunviolencearchive.com, and it will be listed under our tab on tribefamilychannel.com. Now, I want to go back to our guest panelists. And, Olivia, this question is for you. As a active educator and someone that is very involved in caring in these children's lives, certainly searching for solutions as to best protect yourself and others, and I just don't feel as though the parents are serving the educators because these are our children that we're sending to school, and we're sending their problems that are socialized from home and the environments that we create to the school. And that's what you are all having to deal with. Is there or has there been any talks with regards to any teachers' gun carry unions, perhaps, where if that route were taken, parents and educators such as those of us on the line with you could feel a better sense of security when it comes to, like, there were suggestions about the guns being locked up. And is there, like, a communal effort into perhaps bringing this vision to pass on a unionized scale, if you will?
No, it was a vote passed to not bring it to pass. So it's something that isn't going to happen at all nationwide. And it's sad, but on the same hand, there's still an issue of nothing's being taking place, and parents are not doing their job as parents. I can tell you myself that over the years, it's been very difficult for me to be able to get parents to do anything with their children, regardless of if it was middle school or high school. I mean, if you can't get your child to turn in their classwork, how are you possibly going to get your child to not bring a gun to school? So it would make a difference if parents had more influence over their children and had strict rules in place to enforce, you know, what needs to be done. It would make my job and other educators' job a lot easier, and we wouldn't have some of these issues. But on the same hand, you have parents who are in denial about there being problems with their child mentally. Like, parents can see the signs of this kid is going through depression or the child is suicidal, and they can know these things, and they could have their child in a rehab program for weeks, and then the child comes back to school, and they never notify anybody in the school of what took place. So there is this disconnect between the parents and the faculty in schools, where the parents are trying to hide things, and we don't know this information, and we're not given this information by, you know, from them, and it makes it difficult on that hand. And also, parents, a lot of parents are very young now, so it's like babies raising babies. And as you said before, a lot of parents are more friends with their children than being the parental figure.
Mm-hmm.
So they see their children. So their children see them as their friend, their best friend, their homegirl, homeboy, and you know, and they're not taking it seriously. And I have found over the years that a lot of parents are teaching their children how to use guns. Like that's something common. And I'm in disbelief to know this. And I've seen many children know more things about different types of guns than I could have ever imagined because their parents are exposing them to it. But on the same hand, their parents are not teaching them the safety precautions that go along with it. And they're not keeping those weapons locked up at home like they should. So...
Well, it sounds like it's a huge mess, and it's sad. It's very sad on such a scale, on such a widespread scale, because one, your child is going to respect you even less trying to be their friend and on their level, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I have four adult kids. They know I'm not their friend, okay? I'm not your friend. I love you, but I'm not your friend, okay? I'll get with you, okay? Your friends will let you slide. I'll get with you. Okay, so I'm going to say this live on Tribe Family Channel. If we didn't have so many punk parents, okay, out here, I don't care what age you became a parent, don't be a punk. Don't be a punk parent. Be a parent. Be a real parent. Let this child know that you love him or her and that you'll do anything, go to the dirt for that child, but don't let that child run rapid all over the world like they came from a pack of wolves and don't have any sense. Our ancestors are not pleased with your behavior. And I know you don't want to hear, but that's okay because this is Tribe Family Channel. You're in my house if you're listening. Okay? So that's my two cents. Now, before we get out of here, and I'm a parent, okay? I didn't say that I would be on this show representing any of the educators that keep a professional decorum. I am a parent. I will get with you, boo-boo. I could work at the school, okay? I could not work at the school because I couldn't turn the parent part off, okay? Now, we have children that are growing up right now that are, when I started this, we were at a 50% dropout rate. This was in 2003 when God gave me Gumbel for the Soul. 2005, we published our first anthology. Like I said, hundreds of people from all over the world. We addressed some of the parental concerns. If your child is being teased for talking, quote, unquote, white, we addressed having proper command of the English language. There is nothing wrong with that. Stop allowing these acronyms. Your child can't spell. They cannot spell right now because of the dumbing down. The electronic devices, they wouldn't know how to hold a book and cross-reference through encyclopedias because of the digital format. Wouldn't be able to read a map if Google Maps went down today. These children couldn't walk in a 7-Eleven and get a map and read it to get where they have to go. So education is very important. And I say all of this old stuff because guess what? it's okay to be able to have a foundation where you can cross-reference out of the digital platform and still be able to hold your own in a changing world. You want to be able to retrieve information. I used to love going into the library, pulling out the drawers and thumbing through the index cards to find what I wanted. If we were to set a drawer of index cards in front of these children today, they would look at us like, what is this relic? So we have got to get back into a state of learning, parents. Now, that's going to be my rant. I'm going to come back to our phenomenal guest panel, parents, educators, women, queens, black educators. Sometimes we have to get back to our own in order for us to really, really shine the light and turn on that light bulb that says it is about learning and it is about growing. So this is about what is the recipe for literacy in the black community. And I want to say it starts at home. But I don't know. Let me ask my panelists. And then we're going to get some closing comments. So let me go to my phenomenal sponsor, who without her backing, undergirding, and wings, we would not be on this show. This program is made possible by Danny Smith Mathis. Queen, what is the recipe for literacy in the black community, and what are your final thoughts about tonight?
Well, I think when you're talking literacy, you're not just talking reading. I think people get that so confused. I can be literate about many things. I can be literate about gun violence. I can be literate about drugs. I can be literate about Shakespeare. I can be literate about my family history. And so literacy is not just about reading. You can be illiterate about all those things, meaning not know one thing about your family history, not know one thing about the effects of gun violence, not know one thing about how drugs are a generational curse in your own family and access to those things. And that does not mean it's a family that is of low economic, socioeconomic means. There are many, 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 many people who are illiterate to the fact that drugs have ruined their families at high levels, high income levels, because of easy access, because your father, your mother, your aunt, your uncle, your brother, your sister, you are a doctor and can write scripts and get people hooked on oxycodone, hydrocodone, or whatever it is. So you can be illiterate about many things. You can be literate about many things. So the answer to literacy is, of course, knowledge transfer. And so if we don't take ownership of the knowledge that is necessary to transfer healthy thinking down to generations, you will have mental illness.
I like
Where
that.
Can our listeners? Yes, she's powerful. Where can our listeners find you if they want to get in touch with you and get some more of these gems dropped on them?
Sure. I am on all social media platforms, Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram. I'm also on the audio apps Clubhouse and Wisdom app as Danny, D-A-N-N-E, Smith Mathis. I have a weekly show myself on live talk on with the Wisdom app where I have conversations with Danny. You can always come to the Wisdom app. Please join us there. And you can hear my live talks with dope people doing dope things. And my website is also www.dannysmithmathis.com. Thank you so much for allowing me to sponsor.
Thank you so much. And that's Danny with an E, ladies and gentlemen, D-A-N-N-E, Smith Mathis. Thank you so much for your phenomenal gift and undergirding. It is just a pleasure having you. Olivia Harris, final thoughts, and where our listeners, I know you told us at the top, like a true marketer, I love it. You better tell them at the bottom, too. Tell them where they can find you, but then also final thoughts, you know, the recipe for literacy in the Black community, in any community, the demographics is not what's important. What's important is education. Like Danny said, the transfer of knowledge. So when you go to school, you're taking in knowledge that is being offered to you by way of materials, assignments, reading materials, exercises, and a dynamic, a plethora of dynamics. So that undergirding is necessary to have a well-rounded person. Danny just really went through a plethora of things because you can be illiterate and still be able to read a book. Just because you can read and formulate the English language, I've had PhDs that I thought were half crazy, okay? So you can matriculate through the educational system. You can be from all types of different backgrounds. That does not make you literate. You have to transfer the knowledge and be able to give a conscious reference of what that knowledge is. Go ahead, Olivia.
Thank you. In closing, I would say that it's time for parents to be more accountable for how they are raising their children, because I see all the time where parents say, you know, I tell them to go to school, hit those books, this and that. But it's one thing to say it, but it's another thing to demonstrate it as far as making sure that your child has the school supplies that they need for school. You're spending $100, $200 on shoes, but then you won't spend a dollar on a pad, a paper, a notebook paper, and 10 cents on a pencil. So just making sure that priorities are in place where children don't just know you want them to go to school and do well, but you're showing them that you care. You're checking up on their grades online to make sure that they're doing their schoolwork and they don't have zeros and Fs. You're contacting teachers. You're developing that relationship, because when parents and teachers work together, children are successful. And I've seen it time and time again, but you only have 25% of parents that are doing it. So The percentage needs to go up, and we have to stop being friends with our children, holding them more accountable for their education, but supporting it with action and not just verbal talk, and making sure that they do what they're supposed to do in school. And I believe that if we did that as a whole, the education system would be better, and we wouldn't have all the violence we have.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are all out of time, but I wholeheartedly agree with the panel here for what they have spoken of in support of the recipe for literacy in any community. We as parents need to step it up and not only be more accountable, hold our children and ourselves to a higher standard for our own sake. Don't you want to be regarded as someone of standard and substance? We all have it in us. It's a seed of greatness. And I'm hoping that there is something that has been said this evening that will help you to not only Fertilize that seed, but to see it grow into fruition. Be great and bring out the best in who you are and whose you are. I'm Beverly Black. This has been the Recipe for Literacy in the Black Community Roundtable Discussion live on Tri-Family Channel with our guest sponsor, Danny Smith Mathis, and our guest speaker, Ms. Olivia Harris. I want to thank you two queens. Have a happy holy day season. And I will be back here live on Tri-Family Channel. Let's see, tomorrow for Women of Honor. Emails have gone out, confirmations have come in, and this program will be back on the 28th. Our guest is a librarian named Erin Joshua. She will be on our show on the 28th for the Recipe for Literacy in the Black Community, and we're going to talk about all the books that are being banned. Talk about that critical race theory that's not even being taught, but it's being attacked because it's attached to what's black. Be blessed. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
In the world, and God we trust, an architect, doctor, maybe an actress, but nothing comes easy, it takes much practice. Like, I met a woman who's becoming a star, she was very beautiful, leaving people in awe, singing songs, Lena Horne, but the younger version, hung with the wrong person, got a stronger that. Sniffing up drugs, all in her nose, could have died so young, now looks ugly and old, no fun, cause now when she reaches for hugs, people hold their breath, cause she smells of corrosion and death. Watch the company you keep, and the crowds you bring, cause they came to do drugs, and you came to sing. So if you're gonna be the best, I'ma tell you how, put your hands in the air, and take the vow. I know I can,
I know I can,
be what I wanna be,
be what I wanna be,
if I work hard at it,
if I work hard at it,
I'll be where I wanna be. For grown-looking girls who's only 10, the ones who watch videos and do what they see, as cute as can be, up in the club with fake ID, careful, for you meet a man with HIV, you can host a TV like Oprah Winfrey, whatever you decide, be careful, some men be rapists, so act your age, don't pretend to be older than you are, give yourself time to grow, you're thinking he can give you wealth, but so young boys, you can use a lot of help, you know, you're thinking life's all about smoking f***ing ice, you don't want to be my age and can't read and write, begging different women for a place to sleep at night. Smart boys turn them in and do whatever they wish. If you believe you can achieve, then say it like this. I know I can,
I know I can,
be what I wanna be,
be what I wanna be,
if I work hard at it,
if I work hard at it, I'll
be where I wanna be,
I'll be where I wanna
now,
be.
Go. We came to this country, we were kings and queens, never porch monkeys, there was empires in Africa called Kush, Timbuktu, where every race came to get books to learn from black teachers who taught Greeks and Romans, Asian Arabs, and gave them gold. When gold was converted to money, it all changed. Money then became empowerment for Europeans. The Persian military invaded, they heard about the gold, the teachings, and everything sacred. Africa was almost robbed naked, slavery was money, so they began making slave ships. Egypt was the place that Alexander the Great went. He wasn't shocked that the mountains were black faces, shot up their nose to impose what basically still goes on today, you see. If the truth is told, the youth can grow, they'll learn to survive until they gain control. Nobody says you have to be gangsters, read more, learn more, change the globe. Ghetto children, do your thing.
Hold your head up, little man, you're a king. Young princess, when you get your wedding ring, your man is saying, she's my queen.
I know I can.
I know I can.
Be what I wanna be.
Be what I wanna be.
If I work hard at it.
If I work hard at it.
I'll be where I wanna be.
I'll be where I wanna be.
I know I can.
I know I can.
Be what I wanna be.
Be what I wanna be.
If I work hard at it.
If I work hard at it.
I'll be where I wanna be.
I'll be where I wanna be.
Save the music, y'all. Save the music, y'all. Save the music, y'all. Save the music, y'all. Save the music.